Good morning. He is risen. Amen. We serve a living God. He's here today, right in our midst. I'd like to welcome everyone to the service this morning, Sunday school portion of our service. We will be reading from Mark chapter 16, verses 1 through 14, titled The Resurrection. And as I looked on this lesson, I had to go to the book of John, chapter 20, verse 29. Many of you know what that verse talks about. And there's words in there, the ending of that verse says, "Blessed are those who have not seen and yet have believed." Are we excited that we are those that have not seen Jesus yet, but we believe? We should be very much excited this morning because God could not give a better gift, and that is His Son. This time I'd like to read the lesson. "And when the Sabbath was past, Mary Magdalene and Mary, the mother of James, and Salome had brought sweet spices that they might come and anoint Him. And very early in the morning, the first day of the week, they came unto the sepulchre at the rising of the sun. And they said among themselves, 'Who shall roll us away the stone from the door of the sepulchre?' And when they had looked, they saw that the stone was rolled away, for it was very great. And entering into the sepulchre, they saw a young man sitting on the right side, clothed in a long white garment, and they were afraid. And he said unto them, 'Be not afraid. Ye seek Jesus of Nazareth, which was crucified. He is risen. He is not here. Behold, the place where they laid him. But go your way, tell his disciples and Peter, that he goes before you into Galilee. There shall you see him, as he has said unto you.' And they went out quickly and fled from the sepulchre, for they trembled and were amazed. Neither said they anything to any man, for they were afraid. Now when Jesus was risen early in the first day of the week, he appeared first to Mary Magdalene, out of whom he had cast seven devils. And she went and told them that had been with him, as they mourned and wept, that they went, when they went, had heard that if he was alive and had been seen of her, believeth not. And after he appeared to another in another form unto two of them as they walked and went into the country. And when they went and told it to the residue, neither believed they them. Afterwards, he appeared unto the 11 as they sat at meat, and upbraided them with their unbelief and hardness of their heart, because they believed not them which had seen him after he had risen." At this time, everybody's able to kneel for prayer.
Good morning, everyone. Good morning. Welcome to our Sunday school hour this morning. And as we take the challenge of being able to present this lesson on the resurrection. You know, as we think about the resurrection and we think about the events of earth that we live on now, it's the very center prospect and thought of time and of age in our earth, the way we know it. And from the very beginning, God said that he would use his Son to be able to give us a purpose and a reason for living through salvation, through his grace. You know, for the first 2,000 years, God sort of left it up to man to worship him. He had particular no law. He was present in their life. We know that they sacrificed. But we find out that if we are left to our own terms, we soon become full of selfishness and pride, and our depravity comes out in full stream. You look at Genesis 6, 5 and 6, and it says, God saw that the wickedness of men was great in earth, and that every imagination of the thought of his heart was only evil continually, and repented the Lord that he had made man on the earth, and grieved him in his heart. So God prepared a flood, an ark, a man, a plan. And the earth, I was known for the first 2,000 years, was changed. God then instituted, as it went along, a law that man may know that there are ways for him to live, and there are things for him to abide by, and there are boundaries. I know as my children grew up, they needed boundaries. In fact, some of them would come to us when they crossed a boundary, and they expressed to us that they had crossed it, and they needed a punishment for doing that, and that was them saying that because they had crossed the boundary. God had given the law and established the law that men may know that they have a sin and a boundary, and that he had instructed them to live by this. I'm not sure if it was 100% possible for anybody to live the law guiltless, but it was certainly their striving to do so. You could see that in the Jews. And the bringing of Jesus upon this earth as a man-child, as he became born as a little babe in a manger, was the center point of the age of grace. As we look at the resurrection this morning, because if it wasn't for the resurrection, the power of his death would not have the power that it does. It was a complete plan, not only for his death, but also for his resurrection. This is the difference that what makes us as Christians different from all other religions is that we don't serve a God of stone or a statue or of a temple, but we serve a living Savior, that he is alive in each one of our hearts. You know, Satan continues to attack that in humanity. As we go from the day to day, it's getting stronger as we go. And I'd like to just read from 1 Corinthians, and it was read in our revival services. And 1 Corinthians 1, 21 through 23, and after that, in the wisdom of God, the world by wisdom knew not God. It pleased God by the foolishness of preaching to save them that believe. For the Jew required a sign, and the Greeks seek after wisdom, but we preach Christ crucified, unto the Jews a stumbling block, unto the Greeks foolishness. Again, the resurrection is the difference maker between what we believe and our salvation and others. My daughter had taken a college course that was mandatory when she went to Millersville, and it was on world religions. And the professor there, as he stood before them, explained to the class that all religions are based on faith. And because all religions are based on a faith of believing, all religions are then equal, because they all have a belief system, and we must believe it in faith, and then there is no difference. And my daughter voiced her opinion that our faith is different because we have proofs that there is a true Bible, and that the things that are written in there are not fairy tales, that there is truth within those words. The professor became very agitated and angry with her, again telling her that there is, all religions are the same. And she went on to explain to him some reasons why, that we have proofs differently than the world. And I don't have time to get into those proofs, but I have done many studies on the different ways that we can know that what we believe is the truth. I remember a friend of mine, as he was suffering from some complications from having a gallbladder taken out, and he said to me one day, he said, "How do you know that what you believe is the truth?" He said, "Right now I'm reading a Mormon Bible." He said, "How do I know that isn't truth? And how do I know that the Jehovah's Witness that stop in isn't truth? And how do I know the other world beliefs are not true?" And I went on to explain to him in my brokenness what I thought, and that made me realize that I needed to know more about why we have and how I know what is true. And I came up with six things that says that the Bible is true. We can believe when we read in the words that Jesus rose from the dead, as it talked about here this morning, that he did. It is true. It is unerrant. It is recorded. We have the manuscripts that continue to show up throughout the years that prove that the Word of God has not changed. The older they get, the more of them, and we find that they have not changed. They are written by 44 authors, and there are 66 books, and there was all kind of different people that wrote them. There was kings, and there was shepherds, and there was cupbearers, and there was captains, and we could go on and on. And they were written in three different languages, and they were written in many different continents and countries, and yet they all point to the same theme of God and Jesus Christ. We can look at history, and we see that Jesus is a historic person. And I know that there are many people that try to tell us that Jesus did not exist. But if they really do their studies, historically, it is there. Historically, he did die. Historically, he rose from the dead. We can think of it in archaeologist terms. I was reading years ago in a Reader's Digest in 1988, I think it was. I did not look it up again this morning, but that comes to my thinking. The article was called Joshua and the Bible. And it's talking about archaeology. And there was a man that was an odd believer over in Israel. And they found a mound close to the Jordan River. And he decided to excavate this mound and see what was there. And what he found was very strange to him. He found a ramp that went up, and then there was a platform, and then there was sort of a corral. And inside the corral were many, many different bones of sheep and oxen and goats. And he just could not understand that till someone pointed out to him that this was the place where Joshua and the children of Israel crossed the Jordan River, going into the land of Israel, or milk and honey. And as he read that and looked at it and documented what the Word of God said, he found it is exactly what it said in the Bible. Through archaeology, and that's just one reference, we can see that the Word of God is is true. We can look at the heavens and its glories. Psalms 19:1, the heavens declare the glory of God, and the firmament show its handiwork. And I just love to sit down and read books and listen to things that I can find on the internet. We visited in 2008 down in Florida, the place where they send off the shuttles. At the time, I was really excited because the next day they were supposed to send one off, and from our hotel room, you could see it sitting, and I couldn't wait to watch it take off, and they scrubbed it. And I did not get to see that. That was a great disappointment to me. But we went down and looked, and they had pictures of the Hubble telescope that is in the atmosphere and in the heavens, and they're taking pictures, and wow. I mean, the colors and the designs and the endlessness of what they can see. And they're trying to find an end, and they're trying to find a reason, and they're trying to find, for some reason, to debunk that there was a creation. If we look at prophecy, and we look at Christ's death, just in the scriptures, realizing that the manuscripts were true, they have not changed. Looking at the manuscripts, and I remember Brother Hal Martin standing here and saying that a bone of Jesus could not have been broken in no way, shape, or form, because that's what the scripture said. When it came to the first and he broke his legs, and it came to this thief on the other side and broke his legs, and when it came to Jesus, it said that they seen he was dead already, but a soldier taking a spear pierced his side. There wasn't one bone that was broken. And you can go over, there's prophecy after prophecy after prophecy that was given years and years before his death, and also about his resurrection. The flood. And I went to Votech, and I had a science teacher there that was very strong, I thought, on evolution. And we had debates in class, and I loved to debate this. And I did over and over again. And at the end of the year, he came to me, and he said to me, you know, he said, I really don't believe in evolution. But he said, I got to teach it the way I teach it, or I'll be fired. He said, the human eye itself could not have evolved. He said, it's impossible for it to have evolved. And you can go through all kinds of things, the fossil layers, and they have index fossils that are in this layer, and this layer, and this layer, and this means it's so many millions of years ago, and in this age, and this age, and all of a sudden they get to a tree trunk that goes up through all of them. It's hard to explain that. They don't even want to know that. And when you look at the flood, and you can look at it and document it, there was a worldwide event. The flood rose over 600 feet a day. It rose over, if we believe that the mountains were not caused by the floods themselves, but if you look at Everest, it would have raised over 600 feet a day, over 26 feet an hour, that the waters would have been coming up. And just the volume of that, of how it, the force of that, and you know, it was not as fast, but it dropped over 20 foot an hour when it started to decrease. And it started washing all these dead things into the plains. And that's why we have the fossils, and that's why we have the oil, and that's why we have the coal that we have today, because of the volume that going down. We look at the miracles that happened. I know that my life would not be the same if it was not for miracles of God that happened in my life. And I can see Paul, and I don't know if Josh is here, but if Josh, and there's many of us that have had miracles in our life, that God has taken something from one minute to another and changed that. Brother Merle, I think you were there that day in the hospital. And to see an x-ray of it this time, and not long either after another, and to see completely different pictures, and the doctor not understanding what happened to my lungs. And that's a miracle. And God's hand. And also changed lives. When you look at Nikki Cruz from New York, when you think of Josh McDowell, when you think of Isaac Newton, and you look at the extreme change in their lives. Brother David had talked about the change in his life, and I think there's been changes in every one of our lives. Our lives are nothing but a series of new beginnings. You know, that professor in Jeannie's class would have had different view on her thought about the world religions. If she lived in the day of Samuel 3 and 11 through 6, where they captured the Ark of the Covenant, and they took that Ark of the Covenant, the Philistines did, back, and they put it in Ashdod, and they put it in their temple, and the next morning they found their image of Dagon was laying prostrate before the Ark, and they sat it back up, and the next day they came out, and not only was it laying down, but its head was broken off, its hands were broken off, and then God started to destroy the people with tumors. And they became very concerned about this, so they moved the Ark, and they moved it to Gath. The same thing happened, and then moved it to Ekron. The same thing happened, and they took it and put it on oxen on a wagon and shipped it back to Israel again. And if she was a Philistine, she would have had a different view of God and that he is true. Some of the attacks on the resurrection as we are celebrating it today is atheism. There is no God. God is dead. I've ran into that a number of times. And that evolution takes the place of God, takes the place of creation. Evolutionists say, or atheists say, that as man evolved, there was no God that was in that created. But actually, as man evolved into man, man created God because they needed someone to worship. They needed something to worship. They created all these different gods. Someone to worship. You look at atheists, because there is no God, there's no morals. If there is no morals, there's no sin. If there's no sin, there's no one to answer to. But they have trouble with these thoughts. Origin. They created evolution to say where we came from, but they have many troubles with that. Meaning. What is the meaning of life? The definition of meaningless is not the weariness of suffering, but the weariness of pleasure. And if you think of that, I have suffered a fair amount in my life, not near as much as others, but I have, since there's very few days that I haven't dealt with some type of pain in my body somewhere. And some days I tell my wife, I just really get weary of this. I get tired of this ache and this pain. And it's continually, it just stays there. Nothing helps it. It continues on and on. And I do sometimes get tired of it, but not to the point that I would want to change my belief in a God, a resurrected Savior. Those that suffer, as Job did, and he told his wife that his wife told him to curse God and die. And he said, I will not do that. You know, those that get to the top and fight all their life to get to the top of some organization or their own organization, they find emptiness when they get to the top because there's no place else to go. We will never be empty as Christians, having Jesus Christ living in our lives and the Holy Spirit directing us, we will never get weary of him and his word. These group of people cry out that there is no God. Dawkins, which is an atheist of today, denies now that there is no such thing as evil. There is no such, I don't know if I finished. I did not. I was talking about meaning there. Morals, there's no point of reference. And destiny, there's no what follows after life. I remember talking about point of reference Dr. Ravi Zacharias was teaching out, I think in New Mexico someplace, and he said he had two BlackBerry phones. One was for his business and one was from personal. And he said he woke up in the morning and he said he looked at the one and it said, let's say, 8 o'clock, and he looked at the other one and said 7 o'clock. He said, I was very confused. So what time was it? He said, so I called down to the front desk to find out what time it was. And she gave him the proper time. And he said, you know what? I needed a point of reference. Those that live without any absolutes do not have a point of reference. If you do not have a point of moral reference, the only moral reference is what you yourself devise as what is your morality. And if your morality is different from someone else's morality, who is to say what is right? We have situations where there was a certain lady that was there to try to rescue women that were being sexually pondered, and especially in a particular place where they would take liquor and snake's blood and they would drink them and it would just warp their minds, and they would have these fantasies, and they would give them at this place anything that they would want to create to let them live out these fantasies. And that lady said that she had rescued an 18-month-old girl from being sexually plummeted by someone in this place or this area. And as Ravi said, he turned to a college student one day that was following Dawkins' thought that there is no evil. And he said, is this evil? And there was quietness. And he said, I guess I can say it was not evil, but I certainly wouldn't have wanted to be the person that was doing that. If there's no reference, we have reference in the Word of God. If we don't have boundaries, if we don't have reference, they continually look at the Word of God and say that there is no historic Jesus. There is no God. There is no salvation. There is no hope. This group of people that cry out, there is no God, when they close their eyes for the last time, when they take that last breath, when the blood quits flowing, when they pass into eternity from the reality of life, they will then meet their God. And Jesus said, for it is written, as I live, saith the Lord, every knee shall bow and every tongue shall confess to Christ, so that every one of us shall give account of himself to God. So we see that the atheism say that there is no God. There's no merits for how we live. We're foolish in living, not trying to seek out ourself in our life. But in knowing the scripture, in knowing what is truth, we know that the resurrection of Jesus Christ, as we celebrate it today, was the main theme in our salvation and our hope to be able to see him again. Whether we pass away here and we're buried out in a graveyard, or whether we're here when we are raptured, we will see him face to face, and we will know him as we know him now in darkness. We will know him in truth. The Muslims, this is another great group that really is today attacking the resurrection. Their Bible is the Quran. There is a God. They do not believe in the Trinity. And the scripture that was read last night, I think it was Mark. Where the lesson it was. It said unto that they came unto him and said, good master. And Jesus said, why call ye me good? There is only one good, which is my Father in heaven. The Muslims know the Bible. They don't know it as they should, but they know what to pick out. And it said, see, there's only one God. Because Jesus himself said, there is only one God, and he is only one that is good. They deny that he is the Son of God. They don't believe that Jesus died on a cross. They believe that there was a number of things could have happened. Either there was a substitution, that they believe that Joseph from Arimathea, as he was carrying the cross, that he substituted himself on a cross for Jesus. Or that Jesus did not wholly die because it was getting close to the feast day and they wanted to take him down. And Jesus wasn't really dead, but he was sort of in a coma and they took him down and he was revived. And he tricked the people, his disciples, into thinking that he was raised from the dead when he came back to them and that they seen him again. The Muslims themselves, when they look toward Mecca and they pray 8 times a day, one of the things they recite is that they said, to our God, and there is no other son. Thank you. I'm not sure where this came from all of a sudden. It wasn't here this morning. To God, and there is no other son. And they refute the Trinity, and they refute, again, the resurrection. And they also refute the accuracy of the Bible. And there's many, many other things as they go along. And we see today in the Mideast how that we have all this turmoil. And we see how they are destroying Christians as quickly as they can. And yet Christianity is one of the fastest growing churches, especially in China. In India, there's much persecution there. We have the Hindu faith in India, and they have the belief in reincarnation and in believing in multiple manifestation of an absolute. And I know over there that sometimes the things get riled up and the young people decide to go into a village and make a point of their Hinduism, and they'll take Christians and the leaders. And I seen about a year ago, I seen a clip of where they were from someone from India that came over here that had it, of them actually killing the Christians, and they just beat them to death. And the police were standing there watching in a crowd around them, and they'd bring one in and they'd start punching them and kick them and knock them down and kick them and hit them and had clubs and tried to break their arms and their legs, and they continue to beat them till they wouldn't move anymore. And the police would come and throw them on a wagon and they'd bring the next one in. And they'd take their houses and they'd burn their houses and they'd take all their possessions and put them in the middle of the street and they'd burn them. And they'd chase them into the jungle, their families. And it was, the jungle there is very thick, but it's high, it's mountainous. And right now there's could be 25 to 50,000 people in the mountains in the southern part of India, in some of the cities, because they live in a caste system. And once you're pushed out, you aren't allowed to come back into the town, even to get water. And they have to live in their own existence. But they do it to honor and glorify God. They did not renounce his name. And that is the Jesus that we are celebrating to hear with his resurrection and the power of it. We can think of the Mongolia people that Neil is over there, and he is trying to spread the gospel to them. And I'll never forget, as we were there, and those people walking around with those prayer wheels, and they're turning them and turning them and turning them. The older they get, they walk around these areas, these maybe temples, and there's things, and they just walk around and they keep touching these things and praying, hoping that the goodness of themselves would get them into heaven. And just thinking that we ourselves are not able to present ourselves to a God, a holy God, without the remission of sins and the power of that resurrection, as his blood was shed for us. And 3 days later, as we celebrate today and the resurrection of Jesus Christ, There are many other religions in this world. I am more determined than ever to be able to not be ashamed of my Christ, because I used to be more quiet when people were outspoken and people were making fun of Christians, and when people were doing things to make us, belittle us, and I used to sort of shrink back and not say anything. But you know, it is the philosophy of today that we should be tolerant of all people. But all people are tolerant most of the time, except of Christians. You cannot voice your opinion without being a person that is a bigot or someone that does not accept people. But if we stand on the truth, on the Word of God, we need to. We do not need to be offensive, but we certainly need to voice the opinion, not the opinion, the truth, and the truth will set them free. Right now, I work with a group of people, and I meet more and more of them, Hispanic people, and I do not know what they say. I'm trying to learn. The other day, I was asking a guy, I said, I need to know what this word means, and he was going on, and he gave me three words, and then he was going on. I said, just stop. I said, because you're going to lose me. I said, I just need to know what this one word says. Maybe that's my lesson for today. And maybe next week I can learn another one. And I have a long way to go. But, you know, I had the opportunity the other day to be able to do something, be able to give myself an opportunity to give them some of our Spanish tracts. And it was just such a privilege. And the way it worked itself out to give the opportunity, and it was here at church when we were putting a roof on, and I didn't know how to do it, and he asked where to go to get something to eat, and I said, well, you like pizza, so I went down and bought him a pizza, and I brought it back, and they just dug in, and I said, whoa, I said, we're going to pray first, and they sort of looked at me, I put my hands up, I was going to do this, and everybody put their piece back, and then I prayed for them, and I prayed for, I don't know if they understood what I was saying or not. But as soon as I'd done, then I was able to present the packets of tracts to them. I can only ask that the Holy Spirit would use that in their lives. I can also only represent Christ with my life. It's very important now that and before that I would gain their respect and be able to show them that there is a Christ. But you know, I need not to be ashamed of the cross of Christ. I cannot be ashamed of the resurrection, that we have the power to be able to do all things, and that he is in us, and he gave us the opportunity today to stand here, tomorrow to go into the workforce, and be not ashamed of our Christ and our God and our truth and our word that we have and that is hidden in our heart, that we would be able to present that to others with excitement, and that we would be able to do it in sincerity. Thank you for your attention. Continue to enjoy your Easter. Thank you for the privilege of letting me stand before you. Thank you.